60. Thank you, Tim. What comes to your mind? Can I have your mic, please? What comes to your mind when you hear Jesus, the safe place? It's a real question, okay? Think about it. What comes to your mind when you hear Jesus, the safe place? Over the last few weeks, we've spoken about Jesus being truth, justice. He's compassionate, he's humility. But what does it mean for you, Jesus, the safe place? I love you, introverts, but I'm going to do something you hate. Now, everyone, turn to the person next to you and tell them, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Jesus, the safe place. Online, type it in your chat. Don't be shy. Talk to the person next to you. It's okay. Online, what does Jesus, the safe place mean to you? Type it in the chat. It's good to see some vibrant conversations happening. If you're not conversing with someone, converse with yourself, please. Think about it. Jesus is our safe place. One of his characteristics is that he is reliable. Do you long for a church or a community that is safe? I mean, of course, right? Nobody wants to come to a turbulent church. But do you dream of a church where you feel, where it's reliable? Yeah. And so we want to look at how Jesus is reliable and how we can be more reliable like Jesus so that we can build a safe church, okay? Now, reliability, it's something that takes time to build. Agree? You don't hang out with someone for one day and then you trust them with your life. Unless you are Rose on the Titanic and you meet Jack Dawson. I trust him with my life. Do you trust me? I jump, you jump. Okay, okay. He didn't even demand that space on the plank to stay alive. He didn't. He let her have all the space and died. Those of you who are very young or younger and you have not seen Titanic, see it. There's one part you need to close your eyes for, but you know what that part means. When they start drawing pictures, close your eyes. But the rest of it is like life-changing. A good way to find out if someone is reliable is this. You ask witnesses around that person. Witnesses who have been with that person for a long time and people who have been close to this person, okay? So I want to take us on a journey to look at the people who are close to Jesus to see if they found Jesus reliable. Now, who is the closest person to Jesus? John? What else? Who else hasn't? Huh? Peter, who else? Mary, Mama. Mama is the closest, right? Who knows a child, a person, better than the mom? In Chinese, we have a saying, you just move your tail, I know what you're up to. That's what a mom does, okay? A mom just knows. So, I'm going to tell you a story. In this part of story, Jesus, scripture said that Jesus grew up obeying his parents, okay? So, he was a good boy. And he was 30 at this stage. He hadn't yet started his ministry properly. And there was a wedding. So he went with mom and his new disciples, who were kind of part-time disciples, to this wedding. Now, weddings in the in Middle East and in Asia, in India, anyone from India, huge deal, okay, huge deal. We don't do micro weddings there. They are big, they're lavish, you must have lots and lots of wine. And in this wedding, the wine ran out. huge shame, huge taboo, and the shame that this couple will have to carry for the rest of their lives. So Mary, being Mary, said to Jesus, their wine ran out. And Jesus said, oh, but Mom, it's not my time yet. I am your mother. You listen to me. I love this story because Mary didn't say anything. She just said, their wine ran out. Jesus said, but Mom, it's not time yet. So Mary, I imagine she just looks away from him and said to the servants, it says here, do whatever he tells you. What choice did Jesus have? Go, Mama. Mary trusted Jesus and told others to trust him. Mary, Jesus' mother, knew that Jesus was reliable. I don't know how or why. What happened in those 30 years, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But Mary knew that Jesus was reliable. To me, that spoke volumes. There were 6 stone jars laying around that were used for ceremonial washing. And Jesus was like, okay, obeying Mom. He said to them, fill those stone jars with water. So they did. And then Jesus said, draw some out and give it to the master of the ceremony. And they did. Just like that, the water turned into not just wine, but the finest wine. So that's Jesus' mother. She trusted Jesus. Now, then we go to his best friend, Peter. Now, some people would debate because according to John, he is the disciple that Jesus loved. But Peter was, you know, in most of the story. So let's go with Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He was a good Jewish man. And his brother one day ran to him and said, we found the Messiah. Now, the Jewish people had been waiting for hundreds of years for this promised king to come and save them. They were under a lot of, through history, occupation. They were invaded and all that, and here they were waiting for the promised Messiah that God had promised to deliver them. And his brother Andrew said, we found him. So what did Simon do? I imagine he ran to Jesus, because in scripture Simon likes to run, but he wasn't a very fast runner. So encouragement for those of us who like to run but are slow. All right. As Simon got to Jesus, what did Jesus say? It says here in John 1:42, looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you'll be called Cephas, which means Peter. Hey, how did he know my name? A bit sus. All right, I'll watch him. So Peter couldn't stop himself. He was glued to Jesus. He was like, I'm going to watch him. I'm going to follow him. So where did they go next? To the wedding. Peter went to the wedding with Jesus, and he watched Jesus turning water into wine. Oh, my goodness. He must be something. And over the next few months, he kept watching Jesus do weird things, like chasing vendors out of the market with a whip. He watched him whip. Probably not nay-nay. Some people here are very young. They don't get this. All right. And he saw Jesus talking to a Samaritan. The Jews at the time called Samaritans dogs. And they didn't like dogs the way we do. Okay, they called them dogs. And not just a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. A good Jewish man did not talk to women outside their families. Peter was like so shocked, like every fiber of his being culturally so shocked. Not only that, then Jesus said, I'm going to go stay at the Samaritan village. What? For 2 days, he stayed there. Poor Peter. Like, oh my goodness, what is this man? Right? But Peter couldn't look away. He kept looking. He kept following. He was increasingly finding Jesus very unpredictable, but very unreliable. Very reliable. Sorry. It's unpredictable, but reliable. Okay, undo. Okay. Jesus didn't always do what Peter expected. But what Jesus said, he did. And he did some really amazing things. He was reliable. So Peter spent lots and lots of time with Jesus. That's how you get to know if someone is reliable, right? They say they'll bring Big Mac, if they'll bring Big Mac or not, right? And connecting with Jesus, getting to know him. Then he watched Jesus heal people, watching and finding himself trusting Jesus more and more. And after having followed Jesus around like that for 18 months, one day Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." And Peter and Andrew left their nets at once and followed Jesus. At this point, Peter trusted Jesus so much that he left his day job, he left his family business to become a full-time disciple of Jesus. Again, that spoke volumes. And then he watched Jesus heal more people, perform more miracles. Jesus continued to push the envelope and do things that were out of the ordinary and said some really outrageous stuff. He was unpredictable, but incredibly reliable. And then later, Jesus sent Peter and the rest out to go out and heal the sick, preach the good news, raise the dead, cast out demons, do whatever Jesus was doing. Not once, but twice he sent them out. And when Jesus sent them out, they did exactly what Jesus said. And this is when they came back in Luke 10. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." You could sense their excitement. And if you read on, Jesus was also very excited. He was filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus sent the disciples out to do stuff, they did stuff. When Jesus said someone was healed, they were healed. When Jesus said to a dead person that they were alive, they went alive. When Jesus said, "Give food to the crowd," they give food to the crowd. The food just kept giving until it fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And then he did it another time, feeding 4,000 people. And when Peter asked to walk on water, so one day Jesus was just walking on water, and then Peter said, "Can I do it too? Can I come, Jesus?" Jesus said, "Sure, come." So he walked on water to Jesus. It was incredible. And then in one moment of weakness, he focused on the waves around him, and he started sinking. And he called out to Jesus. Jesus caught him. Jesus was there. He was reliable. In the end, Jesus said that he would die. And 3 days later, he would come back again to life. Guess what? He did it. How much more reliable could someone be? Like, ultimate test of reliability, right? Even though Peter failed Jesus by denying Jesus out of fear, remember how when Peter failed when he was walking on water and Jesus was there? This time, Jesus was there again when Peter failed and denied Jesus. He still reached out to Peter and restored him. Jesus was reliable even when Peter wasn't. And then, it just keeps going, right? And then Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then Jesus ascended to heaven. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came in power over the disciples, just as Jesus said it would happen. And Peter stood up with no fear, and he preached. And 3,000 people came to faith and were baptized. All of that, just as Jesus said would happen. They would receive the Holy Spirit and they would have the power to witness. And it happened. Peter was no longer afraid, and his trust in Jesus was so great because he knew that Jesus was reliable. So much so that Jesus predicted Peter's death, that he would be martyred. And he was. And Peter was okay with it. Jesus being our safe place, being reliable, doesn't mean that no bad things is going to happen to us. But it means that we have a purpose. It means that we all live and die, but Jesus helps us to make our life here on earth matter for eternity. What we do here matters for eternity for us and other people's eternity. What we do here will determine other people's eternity as well. And Peter believed Jesus when Jesus said that he had eternal life. And he promised us an eternity with him where there is no tears, no sorrow, no pain, no death. That's why Paul in Philippians, he said that for him to live is all for Christ. And to die is, woohoo, gain. I've won the prize. Peter trusted Jesus when Jesus told him about his eternal life and not be afraid of those who would kill his body. He relied on Jesus so much, even in his death. Peter knew that Jesus would do what he said. Now let's come back to Mary. Where did Mary end up? After Jesus died, raised to life again, and ascended to heaven, Mary was there, waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. And Mary received the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus said they would, that those who wait upon God. Mary continued to trust Jesus and was filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't know what happens after that according to Scripture, but there's tradition and things like that. But you see these two people who are closest to Jesus, trusting Jesus with their lives. Why did I tell you long stories like that? You know, I could quote you different scriptures, but it is in seeing the stories of these witnesses that we could see their trust in Jesus. And what does that tell us? Jesus is reliable. You can trust him with your life. I want to tell you about my friend Kate. Now, Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Hold that in your pinnet. Jesus comes to give us life and life to the full. This is my friend Kate. She's a bit, can I have a picture of Kate? This is a picture of her and her little brother. She's a bit older now. Now, she looks like a normal, healthy little girl, doesn't she there? But her parents were told she would die as a baby. So they prayed like mad. They didn't know what was wrong with her. Doctors didn't know what was wrong with her. She lived. Actually, later on, they were told she would die at 3. She would die at 16. And then because she has cystic fibrosis, a disorder that damages your lungs, digestive tract, and other organs. And later she was told she would die before she turned 18. The average life expectancy for someone with cystic fibrosis is 36.6 years old. Kate is now 37 years old, and in her own words, she's happy as Larry. But her life is not easy. Her life is one that is constant pain, and she has... you see a picture later of how buff she is. It's because she has to work out a lot, not for fun like us. Some of us who work out, I don't work out for fun. But she had to work out because her lungs, if she didn't work out, her lungs would fail and she would die. So the only way is to keep her lungs going. And that means she had to work out a lot. And the working out a lot increased the pain, increased the exhaustion. And she has a cabinet full of medicine that she has to take every single day just to stay alive. Did they pray for healing? Of course they did. Did Jesus heal her the way they expected? No. Because remember, Jesus doesn't always do what we expect him to do. He can be very unpredictable. But one thing we know is that he is reliable. Jesus came to give Kate a full life. And man, is she going to live a full life. This is Kate, who became an actress at 20. Do you see those muscles? And she is smaller than me. She is smaller than me. I'm telling you, little people rock. And then later, she married Dan, a lovely vicar who is addicted to chapstick. Anytime he's talking to you, he's... Lovely, lovely man. We love Dan. And at one point, they both heard a calling from God to do a church plant in Malaysia where there is no doctors at all for cystic fibrosis. So what did they do? They obeyed, of course. And Kate gave up her promising acting career. That's how we met. Tim and I met with them when God also called Tim and I back to Malaysia to the same project, the planting of the church and the planting of the Alpha Hub to serve the churches in Asia Pacific. Kate and Dan lived life to the full, loud, vibrant. They did everything. And yet daily we watch Kate deal with pain, exhaustion, relying on Jesus. Sometimes we won't see Kate in the office at all. For days, she wouldn't surface because Dan says she's just in so much pain. We got to watch Kate go through this. The uncertainty of life. She could die anytime. There isn't even a doctor around who could help her. And yet they relied on Jesus. And her doing what she's been given to do, her joy, her exuberance in the Holy Spirit. This is another picture of her as the lead singer of the Angel of Hosts, a host of, you know, there you go, Christmas. She was serving, she was leading teams, she was running Alpha, running Connect Group, and attending Bible college as well. This was her preaching, and that was her impression of a cockroach, because Kate would not preach quietly. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of age. God was with them every step of the way. And they saw more than 300 people baptized in the first 5 years alone. Can we have a picture of that? In the picture, that's Dan on the left, and to the right is Nicholas Cage. Not really. That's our lead minister, Miles, who really looked. When he went to China, people gave him special treatment because they thought he was Nicholas Cage. So that was one of the baptisms. Jesus was with Kate and Dan as he said he would be. And then, against all odds, Kate fell pregnant. Falling pregnant was very tricky for someone with cystic fibrosis. The meds kept her alive. Being pregnant means she couldn't take half of her meds, which means she could die. And yet every day her face looked like that. And at one point we had a period of time when the air quality in Malaysia, in KL, where we were living, was so bad, normal people were finding it hard to breathe. We had to get special, extra powerful air purifiers. Kate couldn't breathe at all. She was pregnant. She had to go back to the UK just to breathe. And she was very, very, very sick. And I honestly thought she was going to die. I really did think she was going to die. And that whole time, when she was being treated in the UK, what did she want to do? Okay, I'm good now. I'm going back to KL. They were like, no, you are not. You are staying put, and you are having the babies here. And we were like, please don't come back. Just stay there and stay alive. But she is so stubborn. God told me to go. I'm going to go. So she had a baby. She had two babies. Not one, but two. And the first chance she could, after she's had a baby, babies, she was back in Malaysia. Like, you crazy woman, what is wrong with you? Jesus came to give Kate life. She was going to live it to the full. She came back and she kept on serving, and she graduated from Bible college. This is a picture of her graduation. And next picture, I love this picture so much. Anyone who has done Bible college knows what a big, big feat this must be. Now add her sickness, add her pregnancy, and then add not one, but two babies. that she was looking after and add the ministry that she was running. Since Tim and I moved back here, they have also moved back to the UK. And since then, this is what happened. They had another kid. Why not? Do you know, anyone who married a girl who could die at any time would say, yeah, we won't have children, but not Dan. Let's have as many kids as we want, or can, and we'll see what happens. Kate and Dan don't know how long she has to live. It could be tomorrow that she could die, but while she is living, she's living the full life Jesus has given her, because time and time and time and time again, Jesus proves to be reliable to them. Now I want to take us to some promises that Jesus has made to Kate, to me, and to you. Okay? First promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. But the promise means for those who do not believe, they will perish. But whoever believes shall not perish and have eternal life. If we believe in Jesus, we will have eternal life. This life is not all that there is. That means we get to live differently. That means we don't get to fear death. That means we don't get to worry. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I have a sense tonight that that's quite many of us. I'm seeing nods all around. Weary and burdened. What's Jesus' promise? If we come to him, he will give us rest. Jesus also says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that you worry about will be added to you as well. But seek first the kingdom of God. The promise is not that he'll provide everything for you. The promise is seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added to you. Kate and Dan seeked first the kingdom of God. I believe years were added to her life. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. When you do that, what's the promise? Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples in your school, in your workplaces, in uni, at home with your family members who don't believe in Jesus. Go and make disciples. Pray with them. Care for them. Share with them when the opportunities arise. He will be with you. Those of you who are in ministry with youth and kids and leading connect groups, go and make disciples. He will be with you. When Moses said, oh, who am I to do this? God says, I will be with you. His promise, his presence is the answer to all our inadequacies. Okay. All right. Last one. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what will you do with that power? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Go and witness for him, because he has filled you with power. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He has empowered you. So go and witness. Tell people what God has done in your life. Haley talks with people online, and she tells them all about God. She tells them, ask me 10 questions about God. And then she answers their 10 questions. I love Haley. You can rely on Jesus, because what he says goes. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what circumstances says. What he says goes. So what do you need to rely on Jesus for? As Jesus is reliable, in order to create a safe community here, we too need to be reliable. What do we need to do to create a safe, reliable community? How do we need to be more like Jesus? God is reliable to Kate, but Kate was, as much as she was able, she was reliable to the church. First, I want to suggest two things. The first thing is what Jesus did. It's what we say we do it as best we can. What we say we do it. Zeke, is Zeke still in here? It's over there. I've spoken to people, Zeke. I said, who's the most reliable person you know? And Zeke's name. What he says he will do. So if Zeke is on my team, I feel safe. Zoe, your name also came up. We need to be like Zeke and Zoe, okay? And confidentiality. In our small group, we did a group agreement. And one of the things we said is don't gossip. That means whatever we share here, we don't go out and gossip to other people. When we say to people, you know, in the Christian circle, when someone shares that they're going through a tough time, oh, I'll pray for you. Really pray. Don't say it if you're not going to pray. Okay? If you're not going to pray, just say, walk away. All right? When we say we're going to be there for people, be there for them. Now, I'm going to say something that will touch a few nerves, okay? Return messages, people. One way to build reliability is return messages, respond to people. As best we can. I sometimes reply in my head and I don't press send. So, you know, but when we, and emails, you know when they send out a big group email, I've got that. It won't kill you to reply and say noted, thanks. Then the sender will go, oh, someone saw it. Oh. It creates reliability and safety. Being ignored definitely does not create reliability. And when we fail each other, be quick to apologize. I promised Rachel I would deliver her a meal, I think, twice, and I forgot. And I was quick to apologize. I still feel bad. But there are circumstances in our lives that would stop us from keeping our word. Like Kate, she couldn't go back to lead her Connect group. She couldn't go back to do everything. It was just circumstances. In those times, let's give each other grace. That also creates reliability. Lastly, time. Reliability takes time to build. I want to suggest that you hang in there with Jesus. Don't give up when you hit a rough patch with Jesus. I tried to fall pregnant. Years and years and years and years. I did succeed, and then I miscarried. It was tough. I had to come to Jesus, but Jesus, you said this. You said this. The Bible says this. Where is that? I could have walked away from God, and many people do. When they hit the rough patch, they walk away. Don't. Hang in there. Tell Jesus. One of our young adults said she learned she could say to God, God, you're a liar. You lied. But it was only when she started telling God how she truly felt that God was able to come into the situation and prove to her that He is really good. His good may be different from our good in this life, but He is truly good. If you are struggling, hitting a rough patch with Jesus, don't give up. And I promise you, if you don't give up, you will see His reliability shining through. It takes time. Secondly, hang in there with each other. How can we build a reliable community if we will not hang in there with each other? When things get tough, I just bolt. Can you trust me? I can't trust. I wouldn't trust me. As a community, let us say, I will show up. No matter how hard, I will show up and hang in there. What is one thing you need to work on to become more reliable? You don't try harder. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I was the most unreliable young adult you could imagine. I didn't learn to use a diary until I was 27. The Holy Spirit has helped me a lot. As much as we can, let us be reliable, but ultimately we will fail. We will fail each other because of sin and because of circumstances. So only Jesus is truly reliable. So to build a safe church, we need to have Jesus at the center and all of our eyes fixed on Jesus, our promise keeper, the only truly reliable one. Lord, I pray for each heart. I pray especially for those who are going through a rough patch with you, Jesus, and finding it hard to listen to me tonight about you being reliable. Lord, I pray that every single one will hang in there because I know you are reliable. You're going to do it. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to do something good. And God, I pray that we at Undone, we will build a community that's reliable, that we can trust each other. But I pray above all that at Undone, our eyes are not fixed on people, Jesus, that our eyes are fixed on you, the truly reliable one. Amen.